This is Attack of the 20th Century. Thank you for joining us as we explore science fiction, fantasy, and horror films of the 20th century. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm your other host, Kim.
Today, we do a special episode. We're going to celebrate our 50th episode that we just did, and we're going to do a little Q&A time. So we've received questions from you, our audience, and we're going to go through some answers today, and you'll hopefully get to know us a little better.
Yep.
Look for us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Attack of the 20th Century. That's 20th. We post our next movie selection there. You can comment, give your thoughts, and they just might make it on the air. As always, you're welcome to email us at attackofthe20thcentury@outlook.com. So question number one, why did you start Attack of the 20th Century? Maybe you want to take that one.
Okay, well, I started Attack of the 20th Century because you started Attack of the 20th Century. No, I think you had had an interest in doing a podcast for some time. You wanted to review movies. You love these old movies. And you have a buddy, Mike, who's been on the show a lot.
Several times, yep.
Yes. Who also enjoys movies and talking about movies. But you guys could never quite get your schedules to work out. You're both very busy working dads.
Exactly.
And that just couldn't happen. And so I think it was over Christmas break. You were like, hey, actually, we like to talk about things, and you live in my house. So how about you be on my podcast? And so here we are.
Here we are.
I think that's what happened.
And it's kind of worked because you're not necessarily a horror or science fiction enthusiast.
Nope.
But somehow I get you to watch these movies, and we can talk about them.
I think that was all part of your plan, honestly. So. Now I'm stuck having, I can't just be like, nah, actually, I'm going to go read in my bedroom. I'm like, oh yeah, we're reviewing this movie. I have to watch it. Okay.
Well, I certainly appreciate you doing this. And then it's been nice to get Mike back too, to do the show several times. So
yeah,
it's kind of best of both worlds we got going on.
Right. And you've included, you know, your brother and our friend Morgan on some episodes. And so, yeah, you've been able to drag us all in with you.
That's right. All right. Next question. What were your favorite movies to review? So I'll get us started on this one. So I have two categories of movies that I like, really like to review.
Okay.
One are movies that are brand new to me.
Mm.
So I'm thinking of like Horror Express. I'd never seen it except for this podcast.
Right.
V, Black Sabbath we did last season.
Mm-hmm.
These were all new and they were just such good discoveries. And I enjoyed those films.
Yeah.
So it was fun to discover something new and share that with you, our audience.
Right.
And then I also really like the movies where we've rediscovered.
Yeah.
Like we watched when we were kids. And I mentioned like Swamp Thing. I saw it so many times as a kid. I really haven't seen it in the last 15 years or so.
Right.
And then I was able to watch it again with you. And it's like, oh, wow. It's kind of took me back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Red Sonja was another one like that. You know, The Beastmaster.
Another one
we watched several times as kids. So. And Something Wicked This Way Comes was another one.
That's on my list. You're stealing my list.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So to me, I really like those that are new or things that we've rediscovered.
That makes sense.
What about you?
Well, I have to agree with your categories. I kind of did the same thing. I started listing out movies based on like, well, I enjoyed these because these were just old school favorites, right? Like there's a nostalgia there. We talk about that a lot. And so it was just fun. Like Big Trouble in Little China, The Beastmaster, things that we just grew up watching that we loved.
Yeah.
So they're just fun to talk about because there's so much, I think, emotional and memory attachment to those, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tremors, Jaws, I'd throw those in there too.
I
saw them on my list and I was like, I can't not say those. On top of that, obviously we've already mentioned this is not really my, you know, cup of tea normally, sci-fi and horror. So it has broadened my horizons. So I think a few of those older horror movies and things like, you know, The Horror Express and I'm trying to think, Something Wicked This Way Comes. I had never seen that. Like, so I instead of just writing off an entire genre, it has opened my eyes to like, oh, there are good stories here and good themes to talk about. And on top of that, a couple of these I've been able to go back and read the literature that was attached to them. Or so again, Something Wicked This Way Comes. I went back and read that story. Fabulous story. I went back and read The Horla, which goes to the Vincent Price. What was that one called?
Diary of a Madman.
Yeah, Diary of a Madman. Mm-hmm. Really interesting story, and you get some history, which really scratches more of an itch that I have.
Yeah.
versus just watching sci-fi and horror movies. So I think those are some of my favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's fascinating to see something start off as a story several hundreds of years ago and then become this movie production.
Right.
And the transition of the storyline, how they went from one format to another. And so some things you like, a lot of things you don't like, because you're like, oh, there was so many good parts to this story. Right. You weren't able to get in the movie. But it is cool to see the source material, read through it.
Oh, yeah. And it just drives home a point that I have been trying to make for years with our own kids and education here at home, and then with students that I've worked with in our homeschool group. And it's like, good stories are important. They're powerful, you know. Yeah. And to see a story that's, you know, 100 years old or whatever, and how it's been used over and over and over again up until the present day. Like, those themes are there for a reason. Like, there's mm-hmm. there is a universal story to mankind's existence. So I think that's pretty cool discussion to have.
All right, next question. Favorite classic monster? I'll let you start us off on this one.
Okay, so this was instantly, when you say classic monster, I think Dracula, the Mummy, Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. And of course, you got to give Dracula props because he's just got swagger, right? Like, right. He's cool. Like, Dracula's just always been cool. Nosferatu, maybe the least cool, but yeah. He's more creepy monster-y, right? Yeah. And of course then vampires have come into the whole Twilight era, you know, mm-hmm. in our young adulthood, I think is when that sort of came about.
Right.
Well, we were already married and had kids when that, so maybe we weren't.
But they've been cool pretty much every decade. Vampires Interview with a Vampire, cool. You know, Lost Boys, the 80s, 90s, they all had their own cool version
exactly.
of vampires. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But I also, so, okay, it's easy to say Dracula just because Dracula gets a lot of attention and he's cool, right?
Yeah.
But I love the Mummy stories because you get a sneak peek. I mean, ancient Egypt is cool and popular mm-hmm. and all of that, but usually those movies, there's a little bit of Arabic thrown in or some sort of, you know, they're in at least a part of the world that I have lived in and or been close to for a portion mm-hmm. of my young adulthood. So I just like that because it's a throwback to a little bit of Middle Eastern and North African culture that, you know.
You connect with.
I connect with. Exactly. But then, of course, probably Jaws is really my favorite. If we're going to talk monsters, monster. I do love Jaws. Like, sharks are fascinating.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, there that makes sense. Yeah, I guess I interpreted this as, you know, the classic universal monsters. So, yeah, Jaws... I didn't even think about Jaws. So just a quick aside, I always say the best monster movie of all time is The Thing.
Yes, you do.
But as far as favorite classic monster, I was going to say Dracula, like for all the reasons you stated, you know, as compared to some of the others, like say The Mummy. The Mummy's a little kind of one-dimensional as a killer.
Sure.
But Dracula, you know, he's rich and sophisticated. He's elegant and he's a man of fine tastes, right? Mm-hmm. And that translates that yet to be, he's also a vicious animal.
Right.
At certain times too. So I think he's a complex, complicated character. And that's why we see so many retellings of his story. But I thought it would be fun to say if I was transformed into a classic monster.
Yeah.
Which one would I want to be?
Who?
Well, I'm kind of thinking the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, you don't like being in the swamp?
Well, maybe I would pick better waters than...
Well actually, he swims in a lagoon. He's really in the spring, so actually that's nice water.
Yeah, he's not the swamp thing, right?
That's
so
true.
He's in spring water, he swims, he's hanging out, you know, eating whatever he wants to eat.
That's
so
true. Actually, that'd be pretty cool.
You know, I mean, being Dracula would be fine, right? But you have mm-hmm. to go kill people and suck their blood. And
yeah, or you have to be like... the Cullens and Twilight and I don't know, eat deer meat or like suck the blood of deer. I don't remember what they did.
Yeah,
it's been a long time since I read those
books. All right. Next question. Favorite sci-fi franchise.
Okay. Well, I have to cheat a little on this because sci-fi is not my wheelhouse. But I do enjoy MST3K.
Oh, Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yes. And so that's basically any B budget sci-fi movie from bygone eras that they sit and make fun of. If you're not familiar with Mystery Science Theater, go check it out. It's pretty hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
But I will not recommend taking your older generations of, say, parents with you to watch Mystery Science Theater, because they will not get it.
They may not get it.
Jeff has had some experience with that.
All right. Yeah, I'm with you, MST3K. I do love a bad movie with people making fun of it. So
yeah.
And this qualifies because they're in outer space. There's robots. Right. A guy and two robots. So it's great. Growing up, I definitely would have said Star Wars. I think over time, that franchise has been diluted.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, those first three were all just dynamite. The next three, I know there's big fans of them, but I felt like they started diminishing there. And then the new series, for the most part, I have not enjoyed. So it's hard for me to say Star Wars. Star Trek, I think there's just so much content of Star Trek.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
You know, and I haven't consumed all that much. I love the original Star Trek series. So I'm very much a big original series fan, but I didn't really get into a whole lot of Next Gen and any of the later shows. I'm really out of the
loop.
And
there's newer stuff still happening now, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's just so much coming out.
When your brother and Morgan get together, I hear talk of it, but I'm very unaware.
And they know Klingon phrases and stuff like that. So it's hard for me to say Star Trek is my jam.
Sure, yeah.
But Blade Runner is another one. So as far as a movie franchise, and I guess it's a franchise because there's two films.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So we'll include that. But I really do love kind of the slow, methodical storytelling that they do. It's so rich with effects and emotion. It's very introspective and philosophical in nature.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like Blade Runner 2049 in particular was probably the most expensive art film ever made.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's gorgeous to look at. Great story. Those are two ends of the spectrum, really, I would say. MST3K.
Very different sci-fi very different movies.
And then Blade Runner's on the opposite. But they're both in my top franchises.
Okay. So I just want to point out that in our intro, every time you say we cover horror, sci-fi, and fantasy movies.
That's right.
And as we started answering questions, I realized we have a sad lack of fantasy movies. And that is the genre that I have some, you know, attachment to.
Yep.
Yeah. Because I do like fantasy literature.
So what is your favorite fantasy franchise?
Well, I think anybody listening probably can just shout out and guess, but Lothar, Lord of the Rings is the fantasy franchise to beat. I mean, and it's pretty darn good at sticking to the plot, right?
Like, yeah.
Cause I'm a huge fan of the books first. But I will say Peter Jackson did a good job of with those movies. I'm not going to get into the Hobbit debacle.
Yeah.
But the Lord of the Rings movies are pretty darn good.
Yeah. I enjoyed watching the special features because it was very clear to me that those films were made from the heart.
Yes.
And they said everybody from the director to the actors to the people that were the special effects folks or even the people that worked on the live sets and props, they were all big fans of the original book series. And they're all Tolkien fans.
And it comes through.
And it comes through. So to me, I think it was just lightning striking, you know, and it's hard for it to strike twice. And that may have been why The Hobbit wasn't as successful.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. I think he tried to go further afield because The Hobbit is one book and Lord of the Rings is based on three novels. And so he tried to pull in Silmarillion and some other things and to tie in the things that he put in the Lothar movies to adapt them to a movie medium.
Mm-hmm.
I think he tried to pull that together with The Hobbit and it just broke down the story further. That's a whole giant ball of wax we won't get into.
Yeah.
But I will say I just recently ran across a clip of Andy Serkis.
Mm-hmm.
He's the voice actor that does Gollum.
Uh-huh.
It was a clip from an interview. I don't even know what this was from or how I ran across it, but I just saw it the other day. And he literally, you know, Gollum makes that awful noise with his voice. Gollum. He actually says Gollum, you know, I can't do that voice great. But Andy Serkis was like, how am I going to, you know, at first he didn't even want the part. He's like, I don't want a voice acting part. Like there's so many great roles in this series. Like I want a better role. But then when they offered him Gollum, he was like, oh wait, I think I can do something with this. And he actually witnessed his cat hawking up a hairball one day and it was like the cats. I mean, if anybody's ever seen, and most of you probably have seen a cat cough up a furball. Mm-hmm. Just the motions of their body, and I don't want to get too grotesque in this description, but that's how he like acted out. Because you know, when he did that part, he was physically acting Gollum's part because he had one of those weird suits with the
balls
like,
attached.
Yeah, all those little suit. Like golf ball looking things attached to him that capture his motion. I think it's called motion capture, right?
Something like that.
Anyhow, his body language is that of a cat retching, basically. It's so gross. And the noise, like how he did Gollum's voice, is very much like a cat coughing up a hairball. So I just thought that was hilarious. And it worked. So there's some just, you know, fun facts that had nothing to do with our question and answer today.
That's great, though. So my favorite fantasy franchise, I would have to say any Ray Harryhausen films.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a big Sinbad fan. You know, he did three, Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, Golden Voyage of Sinbad, Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger. But then I want to throw in like Jason and the Argonauts in there, Clash of the Titans, any of the, basically the Harryhausen fantasy
Claymation.
Films.
Yeah.
Stop motion.
Stop motion, not claymation. Stop motion, yeah.
Stop motion.
Get my medium straight.
That's like my happy place. I can put that on at a Sunday afternoon if I just want to relax.
Yeah.
Favorite horror franchise, what you got?
Okay, so again, hasn't really been my wheelhouse, but I've already mentioned I love Jaws and Tremors. Because I think there's that, well, Jaws we've waxed eloquent about already. I mean, both of them. But like, there's such great storytelling in Jaws, and the human element is so great. And it's a franchise. I get it. I really just love the first one. I've seen two and three. And was there a follow-up after? I don't know. There's been so many recreates of a Jaws-like thing.
Yeah.
No,
there was a fourth film that was terrible.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so really, it is a franchise, but Jaws, the first Jaws, is my fave. And then Tremors for the comedy element. And again, a franchise, but the first one's the only good one, right? You know.
Well, you know, I would have said The Mummy for you, because you do like all those
Mummy
movies.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so The Mummy franchise is pretty fun. The Brendan Fraser Mummy franchise.
Specifically, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we just started letting our kids watch, not letting them, we just, you know, got around to it. We watched the first one, I don't know, a few nights ago.
Yeah.
And it's good. Like, the CGI is holding up. It's not horrific.
Right.
And it's just playful and fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So my favorite horror franchise, that's a tough one. Mike and I went through The Evil Dead earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Those are good fun. It's horror comedy, which is nice. Halloween is always interesting to me, that series. But Godzilla, I would say me and our youngest really enjoy watching some Godzilla movies.
Yes, you guys do.
I watched them a lot when I was a kid, and it's fun to watch them with my son. You're making a movie. Pick two actors, two actresses, and a director.
Oh, I hate having to narrow things down.
It's kind of a blank slate. There is no genre or storyline given to you, so clean slate.
Great. That makes it even harder. Okay, so I will say I did start thinking about this, and immediately I went to Kurt Russell because I love Kurt Russell. He's funny. He's lovable. He's just great. So I thought, okay, so if Kurt Russell's one of my actors, who am I going to put with him? I don't know. I could not stick to a theme here. So I just went for like people that I love to see acting and have really like blown my socks off for different reasons in different ways. So Daniel Day-Lewis was my next pick because I love Daniel Day-Lewis as an actor.
Yeah.
I have no idea what Daniel Day-Lewis and Kurt Russell would be like together on a film. Like, what even kind of film is this?
Right.
I have no idea. So then two actresses... immediately thought of Tilda Swinton. She's unique. She's different. And I think because when I first read this question, I was thinking actors, actresses, and I didn't even see the part about the director. So then, like, as I'm trying to think of actresses, I thought, oh, shoot, I have to think of a director. And I don't keep up with directors like you do. I don't know. So the first person that popped in my head, of course, was Wes Anderson, because he's a director that we talk about as a director.
Yeah.
And he's so niche. Like, his movies are immediately recognizable, so that's easy for me. So I think he and Tilda Swinton kind of came up in my head at the same time, because I feel like, you know, she could be a Wes Anderson plug-in, right?
Sure, of course.
And
she has been.
And she has, yeah, exactly. She has been. And then Meryl Streep, just because she's a phenomenal actress. I've loved nearly everything I've ever seen her in.
Yes.
So then I'm thinking, okay, a Wes Anderson movie with Kurt Russell, Daniel Day-Lewis, Tilda Swinton, and Meryl Streep. What is this? I don't know. So that's as far as I got. But then, of course, because I don't like narrowing these things down, I started thinking, wait, oh, you came through the room and said, hey, we could pick actors that are not with us anymore. So then immediately I want Jimmy Stewart in my movie because I love Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, Jimmy Stewart, I think, could totally swing a Wes Anderson film.
Oh, for sure.
I think that would be phenomenal. But then I started thinking, well, all these British actors and actresses that I love, where are they? So then, of course, I want to put in Emma Thompson. And I want to put in the late Alan Rickman because amazing.
Yes.
Amazing. He can go from Die Hard to Harry Potter and everything in between.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal. So I don't know. Pick two out of there. Pick two of each. And I guess Wes Anderson is the only director I'm going with.
Okay. Yeah, I would definitely like to see that movie. Definitely.
It's going to be weird.
So I'm going with my director, John Carpenter, 1970s, like late 70s, John Carpenter.
Okay, horror.
So yeah, horror, sci-fi. And I did too. I put two actors together that you wouldn't believe maybe could work together, but I think they would figure it out.
Okay.
So one, I have Peter Cushing.
Okay.
I think Peter Cushing, and I would say kind of that early 60s Peter Cushing era. Yeah. When he was just so active. Like we've talked before, he's just so full of energy.
Yes.
He's a small guy, but he looks like he could kick butt the way he moves. And then he's just so intelligent, philosophical, that kind of thing. But then Robin Williams, pairing him up.
Oh my word, talk about energy. I love Robin Williams. Why didn't I think of that?
So for those of you who don't know, Robin Williams is my favorite actor as far as range.
Yeah.
He can do anything. You know, you look at like just the over-the-top comedy, silliness. Yeah. We have several examples of that.
Manic. Yeah.
Yeah. But then also just the make you cry. Like very sentimental.
Good Will Hunting, Patch Adams. Oh,
yeah, all that. Like, so I think he could do anything in any movie. And so whatever the part is, if I can get Robin Williams in my movie, I'm putting him in my movie.
I would like to see Robin Williams and Peter Cushing together. I have no idea what would happen.
Now, as far as actresses, I'm going to pull in probably late 90s, early 2000s era Kate Winslet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I think she's going to be our heroine. I think she is so good at being good.
Yeah.
Right?
She was like at the height of her powers, you said, in late 90s, early. Yeah.
But then I think you kind of need a baddie.
Sure.
And I was thinking Adrienne Barbeau.
It's a weird combo. Okay.
You know, I'm just thinking kind of that Escape from New York era Adrienne Barbeau.
Yeah.
Because she's definitely more sultry, gritty type vibe going for
her. Gritty, yeah. That's a good word.
I think it would go well for a villain.
Okay. So she's a bad guy in your movie.
I think so. So I don't know which guy would be a bad guy or if it's, you know, Peter Cushing, Robin Williams, and Kate Winslet all against Adrienne Barbeau. I feel like Barbeau would need some help. But definitely, Adrian, I'm casting her as a villain in my movie.
Okay, I could see that.
Last question, your favorite non-genre film. So a film that's not sci-fi, horror, or fantasy.
Okay. Well, okay, my favorite movie of all time, and you know this and have known this for years and years, is Last of the Mohicans.
Yes.
But for whatever reason, when I was thinking about this question, I was having a mind block. So I went down this list of other favorites that are, you know, closely trailing Last of the Mohicans. And it's Tombstone, Braveheart, and The Patriot, which, as you can see, I have a bit of a history. Historical fiction is kind of my jam. But I would also love to throw in a Jane Austen adaptation, but my absolute favorite of that is
BBC miniseries.
Yeah, the BBC miniseries of Pride and Prejudice, which technically is not a film. So I'm going to throw in Sense and Sensibility from 1995 with the great late Alan Rickman as Captain Brandon.
And Kate Winslet.
And Kate Winslet and Emma Thompson. I mean, you don't get much better than that.
There you go.
So I cheated and picked several non-genre films. But you can see my genre has a bit of my non-genre is kind of thematic.
Yeah. You some historical fiction.
Yes, I do.
Well, so I have three films I wanted to mention. Defending Your Life with Albert Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people don't know this movie, but it talks about what happens in the afterlife. And it's a comedy, straight up comedy.
It is, yeah.
And you actually have to defend your life. Like
with a lawyer.
With a lawyer. And they review segments of your life on film. And at the end of it, they figure out whether you move on to whatever's next in the afterlife or if you have to go back to Earth to try to overcome your fears.
There's a weird Hinduism theme in this movie.
Albert Brooks is just an awesome comedian.
Yeah, he really is.
He really speaks to me. There's an old film called What's Up, Doc? That's a straight up slapstick comedy with Barbara Streisand and Ryan O'Neal.
Yes, it's fantastic.
These guys are hilarious. I mean, it is just straight up bananas. So that's definitely in my top three. And then the third one I'll mention is Harvey. You mentioned Jimmy Stewart earlier. This is my favorite film of his. It's just a straight up sweet comedy.
Yes.
You know, he can see an invisible 6'2½ tall rabbit that nobody else can see.
Yes.
But the rabbit can talk. And he likes to drink beer with him.
Yes. The rabbit's name is Harvey.
His name is Harvey.
And it is actually based on a play.
Yes.
All right. I think that wraps up our Q&A to celebrate our 50th episode. And we'll catch you next time reviewing something, right?
That's as good a lead-in as any, I guess. So our next movie we're going to review is Taste the Blood of Dracula from 1970. It's a Hammer horror production starring Christopher Lee and Linda Hayden. Definitely check it out. You can rent it on Amazon. I think it is available on other streaming platforms. And parents, one thing to note, there is one scene, depending on the version that you see. It's a brothel scene, women scantily clad. So be aware of that. Obviously, it's Dracula, so you're going to have some violence and blood, especially in a film called Taste the Blood of Dracula. I think they amp up the blood in this one. Check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. And we will release that on Halloween this year, October 31st. So happy movie watching.
Enjoy your movies, guys. Peace out.
Peace out.